Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the show. Today we're joined by licensed marriage and family therapist, host of the relevant radio show Marriage Unhindered, and author of the newest book, Rekindled Hearts, Doug Hinderer. Doug will be sharing how we can strengthen our marriages even in the midst of trials and suffering. Doug, thank you so much for being on our show.
Hi, Mary Grace. Thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here, and I love the work you're doing for the Ferris Love Podcast. It's a great podcast.
Thank you. And we're happy to have you on. This is not your first time on our show, so we're excited to continue kind of these conversations about marriage. And there's a lot that's been going on in your life since the last time we had you on a show a couple seasons ago. So you want to tell us a little bit about how your work has advanced life and what you're doing?
Yeah, life has gotten crazy, to be sure. So I now have this one-hour show Monday through Friday on Relevant Radio at 5 p.m. Central Time, and we talk about all things marriage-related. It's a call-in show, so folks call in with their questions or problems, struggles that they have in a marriage, and I also take emails. So a lot of folks, they hesitate to call in because, well, maybe my, you know, spouse is listening, or my best friend will recognize my name. They'll know that things aren't great at home. So they send me emails, and I try to read the emails on air anonymously and then make some comments about them, et cetera. So that's new. That's a whole different thing that I never, ever thought would happen. I never even had the slightest idea I'd be on the radio someday, but that's that. And then also, I've published a book. I never, ever thought I'd publish a book. I'd be a writer, and I did. It's published by Scepter Publishing, and it's called Rekindled Hearts, A Spiritual Journey to Marital Healing. And it's pretty exciting. At least my mother was really excited when I gave her a copy.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's great. And yeah, we'll kind of get into that a little bit later in the discussion, but yeah. So we're just going to start kind of, we've had you on the show before. We've talked about a lot of different things. So we're going to keep continuing this theme. And in the month of February, we're discussing, you know, relationships and just how to strengthen those relationships. So kind of to begin, when we're talking about marriages that might find a little bit of struggle in whether they've been married 10 years or they've been married 20, 35, one. I'm newly married, so all this advice is great.
Good for you. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Took your course too, which is excellent. Oh,
good. And you still got married anyway. Oh my
goodness. Yes, we did. It was one of the best things we did. So thank you.
So far, so good. Oh, good for you.
So far, so good. Yep. So when we have couples that are struggling to kind of maintain their emotional intimacy as well as, you know, connection over time, what are some practical ways to deepen that love throughout their marriage?
You know what? I mean, I think the single most important factor is intentionality. Like, we're going to intentionally invest in our marriage every day. We're not just going to, like, you know, retire, you know, and like, we don't have to work on each other anymore. We don't have to work on ourselves anymore. We don't have to work on the marriage anymore. This idea of intentionality that we're going to, and I always encourage couples to commit 1% of their day to developing their marriage. Well, that doesn't sound like much, 1%. Well, actually, 1% of 24 hours is about 15 minutes. So I really encourage folks to carve out 10 or 15 minutes every day, just the two of you, no screens, no kids, put some music on if you want, but we're just going to connect. Tell me about your day. And it's my opportunity to affirm you, to praise you, to compliment you, to talk about why I love you, to really deepen our friendship and our affection. And, you know, I think if you do that, to me, marriage is a little bit like a garden. You know, you can plant your tomatoes in the spring and come back in the fall and pick some tomatoes. Or you can go out every day, pull out a couple of weeds, put down a little fertilizer, maybe water a little bit, and come back in the fall, and you're going to have a great crop of tomatoes. So I think you just need to tend the garden a little bit every day. Don't put in a lot of effort, but every day we're going to take a little bit of time to just affirm, praise, compliment, acknowledge, show some thanksgiving for this wonderful gift that God brought into my life.
And if a couple were to say, where do we even start with that? Because we have X number of kids and they have all these different activities and, you know, a lot of things can get in the way of it. How do they prioritize that?
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, of all the things I ask my couples to do, this is the hardest. They come back week after week and say, man, we just couldn't find time. We did it once. It was great. We never did it again. You got to schedule it. Right. I don't know when the last time was somebody said, I was too busy to eat today. No, you found a way to carve out time to eat, probably three times, you know, and if it's important enough, you'll find the time for it. So that's, you got to schedule it. And it's tough, especially if you got little kids. I get it, because by the time the kids are down and they're asleep, you're exhausted and all you want to do is collapse. But you know what? If you can't do 15, do 10. If you can't do 10, do 5. But don't let a day go by that you and I don't sit down, look in each other's eyes and say, I love you. And let me, in fact, tell you why I love you. Mm-hmm. I love you because you did the dishes today and I didn't have to. That meant a lot to me. Thank you. I love you because I just watched the way you hug the baby. And I look at you and the baby and my heart swells. I love you for doing that. It's all it takes, right? Of those kinds of interactions, and you keep the love alive. We seem to always find time to complain about what I don't like. We don't find time to praise and to thank, and we need to shift that around.
Mm-hmm. And so when couples feel kind of distant or stuck in these routines, I mean, you've mentioned, a couple of other things. You've mentioned, you know, finding the intentional time. What are some things they can do maybe personally that can help encourage that relationship amongst, with their spouse?
Yeah, you know, personally, prayer is the single most important thing I think one of the most powerful things a couple can do is be regular into the sacrament of confession. Clean all that stuff up that's going on. Yeah, I snapped at my wife. I was kind of rude. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think prayer, right? And I think we need to pray about our spouse. Okay, Lord, what help? Open my eyes. What does my spouse need? Where are they at? What's going on? What's weighing heavy on them? How can I be there for them? And then, So Lord, open my eyes. And then two, just pray that you are a good spouse, right? And just pray that, you know, Lord, I just want to perfect my skill as a husband. How can I do that? What do I need to do? So I think pray about the wife and pray for the wife and Lord, you know, or husband, but you know what? Strengthen my wife, give her patience with the kids, help her, you know, to relax, help her not to be so anxious or whatever. So I think pray about and for each other is a good way to just, and then when you get together in the night, you got stuff to talk about. Like, you know what? I was praying about you today. Like, really? Yeah. And, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to see your gentleness and your kindness. And I hadn't really seen it lately, but now that I think about it, yeah, that's a big part of who you are. Well, by golly, we're going to have a pretty good night if that's how we start off talking.
Right. Yeah. And you can't argue with someone's prayers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, God said, how can I argue with what God said, right? Yeah. It's a God thing. Yeah.
Right. And the previous episode, we had you discussing forgiveness, you know, and how that looks. And I think that connects very perfectly with the book that you've recently, you know, written and just talking about those struggles. What does forgiveness look like in a marriage that, you know, obviously every marriage is different, but what does it look like when, you know, you have maybe a serious offense? You know, I'm sure I've heard listen to your show as well. And there's a lot of calls that are kind of just hard to listen to because you feel, you know, it's a very tough subject.
I'm actually going to talk about that on today's radio show. And today is, we're recording this on the 7th. How do you come back from a 3-year affair? That's a big one to forgive, right? And I think, you know, forgiveness, especially for us, I mean, it comes from the fact that as Christians, we understand that forgiveness wasn't a suggestion by Jesus. It was a commandment. He didn't say, "Yeah, forgive if you feel like it." If you get, you know, he said, "No, no, no." Every time we say the Our Father, we say, "Forgive us as we forgive others." And I think it's Matthew's Gospel. But right after Jesus says, "Here's the Lord's Prayer," his next sentence is, "If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you." So that's to me the scariest line in all of Scripture, and it's very clear. If you expect to be forgiven, you've got to give out the forgiveness, and so. Part of it is to look at all these things that we have to forgive in our marriage as gifts really, to grow in grace and to solidify our place in heaven. Because I get up to heaven, I can say, you know what, Lord, look at all these things I forgave my wife for. You know, she was 5 minutes late getting out of the door. I forgave her for that. Aren't I a hero? I forgave her. So, you know, and then sometimes there's big things. There's affair or there's, you know, DUIs or I lost $10,000 at the casino. I mean, sometimes there's big stuff to forgive. But the bigger it is, the more grace we get for doing forgiveness. So I think we tie it, you know, we tie it to our Lord. Of course, everyone he forgave as he hung there on the cross for us. And we realize that it's the way we live our faith, really, is by practicing forgiveness. And I don't believe there's any place in the world where we get more opportunities to practice forgiveness than in marriage. We get chances to practice that every single day, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
At least my wife does.
Oh, yeah. Same. Yeah. What do you think about the phrase forgive and forget? Have you ever heard that?
I think it's a stupid phrase. I think, you know,
I'm just curious.
Here's what I say. Forget the part about forgetting, because you can't forget. Try to make yourself forget something. You can't make yourself forget. So it's not about forgetting, but it is about forgiving. But it is about perhaps remembering in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so as you kind of talk, part of what I do as a therapist is kind of help couples talk through the pain and the hurt. And why did you do that thing you did? And we find out oftentimes, you know, some of these things that I do are tied to the way I was raised, right? And childhood injuries and scars. And all of a sudden I realize that thing you did, yeah, it was bad, but I now understand why you did it. Because, you know, you grew up with a dad who was physically abusive, and that led to this and that and this and that. And now I understand why you sometimes get really scared when I raise my voice, because your dad would raise his voice right before he hit you. Right. It's like, so now I understand if I raise my voice that that'll trigger you and stuff. So it's about remembering in different ways, but forget that part about forgetting. You're not going to do it.
And what would you say, like, are some kind of initial steps a spouse should take to forgive and then the other side to be forgiven?
Well, I think the six most important words in a marriage are not, I love you, I love you back. Mm-hmm. I think it is, I am sorry, and I forgive you. So the first step, I think, is an apology. The second step is, I forgive you. And I got to tell you, if you just say those six words, you're going to feel good. You will actually feel good. If your spouse does something and then comes to you and say, man, I'm sorry I did that. And you say, you know what? I forgive you. You're going to feel lighter, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, that's just the deal, is to realize that I did not marry a perfect person. And neither did my spouse marry a perfect person. And I'm going to get my feelings hurt. Guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. He is going to do things that are going to hurt me, irritate me, make me mad. And there's no way to avoid that. So I can carry the grudge, or I can just realize it's just going to happen. And I can just get ready to forgive. And here's the thing, I mean, that I've kind of learned in the years I've been doing this. 99 times out of 100, when somebody does something that hurts their spouse, it's not intentional. I mean, you know, you don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh, how can I offend my husband today? Oh, I think I'll do that first. You know, you don't do that. But you might say something that offends him during the course of the day, but it's not intentional. And if I can realize that your heart is pure and that you really love me unconditionally, when you do something that hurts me, it's going to be a lot easier to forgive, because I know it's not intentional. Now, if you do the same thing day after day after day, I'm going to like, well, maybe you ought to try a little bit harder to stop stepping on my toe every morning. But, you know, know that you're just going to have to forgive. And that's not a bad thing. That's an opportunity to grow in holiness.
Yeah, humility, too. It's
humility, too.
Yeah, hard absolutely. To say sorry. And it's sometimes it is hard to say I forgive you.
Well, in my situation, I've had a lot of practice at saying I'm sorry. So I will say it gets easier the more you do it.
Yes. Can't wait for that. No, I'm just kidding.
Have your husband call me. I'll teach him how to say those three words.
No, yeah. Maybe
repeat
it's
after
me.
Oh, it's you. Oh, okay.
what are some simple ways that spouses can cultivate gratitude? Because, sometimes you talked about those 15 minutes every day is really important. What are some other ways?
That's a great question. And I think the importance of gratitude is Satan's, I think, number one strategy to split couples apart is to get you to focus on each other's defects. Mm-hmm. And so you start thinking, oh, they're late. They're always late, or they're never on time, or they never say thank you, whatever it is. It's just the way to overcome negative thoughts is to crowd them out with an abundance of positive thoughts, with thoughts of gratitude and thanksgiving. And so I encourage you to just make a list and just keep adding to the list. I think it's great fodder for your prayer. Just, you know, take a piece of paper to an adoration chapel someday and say, okay, Lord, help me make a list of all the things I should be thankful for and grateful for and love about my spouse, and write those down. And then share them. Not all at once. I wouldn't recommend you sit and say, okay, I got 72 things that I really am grateful for. I'm going to read them. But, you know, every week, share a couple of them. You know, leave a little love note, you know, in front of the coffee pot or the mirror in the bathroom or whatever, and say, you know, I was thinking about you, and I really love how well you take care of the baby. I just so love that, right? And just, or in the seat of the car, or, you know, and I used to have to travel a lot, and I hated it. But I can remember the unbelievably grateful feeling I would have when I get to a hotel, start unpacking, and there'd be a card in there or a note from my wife. She'd slip it in somehow when I wasn't looking. And by God, that felt really good, right? Mm-hmm. And so make a list and then share the list 2-3 times a week.
Yeah. And I know this will come out just right before Valentine's Day. And so people always assume that's the best thing to do on Valentine's Day, but it's something you can do every week. And it's, you know, not attached to a holiday, and it's, you know, very effective that way.
It's a good daily practice. Absolutely right. Yeah.
What advice would you give to a couple that is struggling with, let's say one spouse is interested in changing and growing and, you know, trying to make things work, and the other one not so much? I know you have some calls on your show. I've heard a couple times where that happens, but what are some?
Yeah, that is by far and away the absolute hardest, toughest situation. And frankly, you don't have any influence over your spouse. All you could do is open the door. You could say, listen, sweetheart, when you do this, it really hurts me. I'd like to ask you to change, right? When you go golfing 5 nights a week and don't come home till 9 o'clock, it really hurts me. I'd like to ask you to change. Now, your spouse could say, well, but I really like golf and I'm going to keep doing it. What are you going to do? Right. And you run into that a lot where one spouse is like, well, you know what? If you're not happy, you go fix it, because I'm not going to. I'm not going to change. Or I don't think there's anything wrong with what I'm doing. Right. At which point, the marriage is not going to get much better. So I talk about white martyrdom. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is martyrdom where you're going to suffer a lot for your faith, or in this case, for your wedding vows, because you promised to stay married no matter what. And now I'm suffering a lot because of that promise that I made. And there's a martyrdom in that. And there's great virtue in suffering martyrdom. And that was really the impetus for my book. My book is all about suffering because of the frustration I had with so many couples I was working with, that some of them didn't get any better. The suffering got worse. Some of them, they got a little better, but there's suffering in every marriage, your marriage, my marriage. We all, you know, have suffering, some little, some big. But one of the biggest sufferings is when the spouse says, I'm not going to change. And so you open the door and then you just say, you know what? This is going to be my cross to carry, at least for a while, until my spouse changes his or her mind and says, wow, I really have been kind of a jerk. Let me try to get better at that. So, and the whole idea of the book is to encourage people that suffering is not a bad thing. Suffering is actually a good thing from a spiritual perspective, from a supernatural perspective. And so just because they're suffering in your marriage doesn't mean you should get rid of this spouse and go find a different one. Because that person will bring their own defects and their own suffering. Or I'm never going to get married again. Okay, but there's suffering in the single life as well. So you can't avoid it. We may as well sanctify it.
That's a great segue into your book. I'd love to hear more. What makes Rekindled Hearts kind of different from other marriage books on the market and something that, you know, your followers should read?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. I think, I have no idea if the book is any good. I can't judge that. I never thought I'd write a book. And the book really took on a life of its own as we started throwing flip chart paper up on the wall and scoping this whole thing out. So I tried to accomplish 3 things with the book, which I think make it a little bit different, which is probably really a dumb idea. I mean, you know, accomplishing one thing would be good, but trying to do 3. So, hey, you can just sit down and read the book. You can read it like any other book and just turn the page till you get tired and close the book. I also wanted it to be a book that you can take with you into an adoration chapel and use it to pray with. So different chapters tackle different problems in a marriage, and you can be like, oh yeah, I kind of got this problem. Maybe I'll read this chapter in front of the Blessed Sacrament and use it to pray with. The setting of the book is spiritual direction, situation of spiritual direction, where both the husband and wife are starting spiritual direction with the same priest, only neither of them know it. Neither of them know they're going to the same priest. So at the end of each chapter, the priest gives the couple 3 things he would like them to do, something he'd like them to pray about, something he'd like them to read, and some other advice, spiritual direction. So if you want, you can take those 3 things, right? So you could kind of use it as a workbook on how I might be able to improve my marriage. So you can read it, you can pray it, you can work it, is the idea. And so that's, I don't know if any of those 3 things actually will work, but that's kind of what I tried to accomplish. Yeah, so that makes it a little bit different, I think.
That's very different. I would think that's very different. Yeah. That's great. So why did you choose to focus on, let's say, that more spiritual side than your background, which is in, you know, the therapy, the that side?
No, oh, for sure. That's a great question. And I think the problem is we all have, even us Catholics, have a very secular view of what marriage is. And it was formed by the romantic comedies we watch on TV. It was formed by the fairy tales, you know, the Prince Charming and We Live Happily Ever After. And we don't have a well-formed idea of the spiritual nature of what marriage is all about and why God actually created it to begin with. And so I thought I just needed to talk about current marital problems, but from a spiritual perspective. And if all of a sudden you bring God into the equation, then all of a sudden the suffering isn't senseless. Now I can actually use it as the currency to buy my salvation, to buy the salvation of my spouse, get my children into heaven. I can use it for a good purpose. And for secular people, suffering is a waste, right? So, I mean, we have a pill for everything. You got a headache, take an aspirin, right? You got this, we got medication for everything. You should never, ever have to suffer. From a Christian perspective, suffering, A, can't be avoided, but B, it can be sanctified. Suffering somehow is so good for us that A, that's the method that God chose to redeem mankind. He chose to come and suffer. Okay, well, that was his choice. But somehow it's so valuable, he chose not to even spare his own mother. Right? I mean, so why would Jesus say, you know what, Mom, you're going to suffer almost as much as me. I love you. And because of that, you're going to suffer a lot. Well, that doesn't make any sense to us. We don't get that. And St. Alphonse Liguori is of the opinion that Mary's suffering exceeded the suffering of all the martyrs combined. Well, I don't know, but somehow suffering's got to be a good thing. So I kind of wanted to get that message out that let's not run away from the suffering. Let's fix it if we can, right? So if you got a headache, take an aspirin. Good. Headache goes away. Great. If it doesn't go away, okay, well, let's sanctify the headache. Well, if I've got problems in my marriage, let's try to fix it. Let's get some counseling. Let's get to therapy. Let's work on it. If we can fix it, great. And if we can't, okay, now let's offer this suffering up for some greater good. And so that was kind of the motivation behind the book.
Wow. Yeah, so much to think about too and just consider. I love that. What would be your favorite chapter? Like, I know they're all separated differently, but I'm curious what your favorite chapter was to write or maybe even just to...
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of dodge that question a little bit.
Give me three. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, my favorite chapter is the first six.
Okay.
So it's in the first six where I really kind of develop the whole theme of suffering as a good thing and as something to be sanctified. And I take six chapters to actually do that. And I think that idea of suffering as applied to marriage is kind of unique. It's not out there. So those are my favorite chapters to write. The rest of them, with the exception of the last one, I go through different kinds of problems in marriage, like loneliness and criticism and contempt and defensiveness and these things that get in the way and how you can kind of supernaturalize those. And then the last chapter, I think, is probably my favorite simply because it's a happy ending. And as a marriage therapist, that's what I'm going for. I'm going for a happy ending with every couple I work with. Unfortunately, I don't get a lot of happy endings with the couples I work with, but I am an incurable romantic. And so in my book, we got a happy ending. And I'm never going to write a book without one, just so you know. If I ever write another one, spoiler alert, it works out okay in the end.
That's great. Yeah, I know. It's such a tough, I know, you're doing the Lord's, you're doing great work with your clients and with your show.
Thank you.
Who would this book, so I'm very interested in reading this book, but I've only been married a year almost, a year in July. So who is this book for? Is it for young couples? Is it for older couples? Is it for anyone?
Yeah, I think anybody could read it and get a lot out of it. It's not really for couples who are like really in a bad place, who really need some intensive surgery. I think especially for newlyweds, right? And young couples, I think it'd be great because it shows you that, you know, we're kind of fussing and fighting with each other, but that's okay. That's normal. It doesn't mean we married the wrong person. It means we're human. We're flawed. We got the effects of original sin. Thank you, Adam and Eve. And so we're going to fuss and fight. But there's ways to talk about these things. There's ways to solve them. And it's okay. It's okay. We can fuss and fight and still love each other. And doesn't mean we need to end the marriage just because we've had a couple of tough days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anybody, yeah, anybody, but certainly earlier the better. So yeah, Mary Grace, for sure. Get a copy.
Yeah, you bet I will. And it's good. Yeah, it's good too to just see, I don't know, you just the way you described it, it's good to have those examples and just to provide that, you know, understanding of, yeah, suffering, especially since, like you said, most of the movies that we watch these days are highly romanticized, highly like not practical in any way. So once you get into the marriage and you're like, wait, why are we fighting?
You know, that's just it. In fact, so I'm going to do a case study on the show today. And it's a case study. A woman finds out her husband's been having an affair for 3 years. All of her friends say divorce the bum, right? And that would be the common, you know, that's what society would say, right? This guy's been unfaithful. Get rid of him. And I get it, right? He's hurt you deeply. He's violated the most precious, the most sacred part of life. But she didn't do it. And, but society says, get rid of him. Well, this book is here to say, no, you don't have to. Even big stuff can be healed and all of your pain can be sanctified. And that's the deal. I mean, every couple that comes to work with me, they're coming because they're in pain. They're suffering. And they're coming to me saying, Doug, help reduce our suffering. Well, sometimes I can help and sometimes I can't. But they all have suffering. And we all do. Well, let's sanctify it. Let's just, rather than complain about it and moan about it and whine about it, let's just sanctify it. That's the idea. Easier said than done.
Yeah. And how do you hope that this book, Rekindled Hearts, affects and impacts marriages today?
Yeah. Now, I've said this to my wife many times. And I, when I first started as a therapist, I said, you know what, if just one, at my wake someday, I would love just one couple. If just one couple came up to you and said, you don't know us, but your husband saved our marriage, it would all be worth it in my mind. Then when I got on the radio, I said the same thing. If just one couple says, boy, we listened to Doug's show and it saved our marriage, then it would all be worth it. And I say the same thing about the book. If just one couple says, we read your book, Doug, and it saved our marriage, that's good. Now, if it's two, great. And if it's 1,000, even better. But if we could just change one marriage, I'll consider it good compensation.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I would love for you to share where our followers and listeners can buy your book. And then also, a little bit you shared in the beginning, but just kind of retouch on what you're doing and your website and all that good stuff.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's amazing what God has done, has used me to do in the past year. So, all right. So I've got my personal website, happymarriageforlife.com. Got some blog posts out there. I've got two workshops on that website, one for engaged or seriously dating couples that you and your, at that time, fiance went through, which kind of helps prepare you for marriage. I have to warn you, I've had a number of couples who have gone through the workshop and broke up afterward. You know, but that's good. Yeah. Better to break up before the wedding than after, right? Yeah. So that's good. And then a lot of couples went through and they went on to get married. And I, my hunch about that is if you go through the course, if you decide, yes, let's get married, you've got a higher level of confidence that, yeah, this really is a good idea. We really do have a high probability of success in this marriage. So you get that. You get, I also have a course out there, a workshop called Marriage Tune-Up, for married couples who might want to tune things up a little bit. It's really not designed for someone who's in deep trouble who needs therapy, but it's designed for everybody else who's kind of like, yeah, we're getting a little stale. It's getting a little dry. I don't know, we've been married 10 years. We're in a rut. Okay, take the course. I think it can help rejuvenate the marriage. Yeah. So that's happymarriageforlife.com. All right, the radio, Relevant Radio. Go online, relevantradio.org, or you can download the app. My show is on Monday through Friday at 5 to 6 p.m. Central. But from the website or the app, you can, it's called Marriage Unhindered. I didn't come up with that name. but you can access all of the past shows I've done. So you can go through and they've got a little description of each one, some of the things I talk about. So you don't have to just, you know, they were kind of, they humbled me a lot when I started. They said, Doug, realize the average person listens for about 8 minutes. No one's going to stop their day just to listen to you from 5 until 6 every day. Well, thanks a lot. So, but on the app, yeah, well, maybe, well, my mother and my wife do, but other than them, I don't think anybody does. But on the app, you know, you can download the app on your phone, plug it in when you're driving in the car, go back, pick up a past show or something. One of the new things about my show is we callers call in and we start getting into some pretty deep stuff and maybe you got to run and pick up the kids or whatever. So you can always come back to it and figure out where you left off and come back to it. And so you can actually piece it together over a period of time. So that's good. The book, Rekindled Heart, A Spiritual Journey Towards Marital Healing, is at Scepter Publishers. The official release date, I think, is Valentine's Day, the 14th. But you can pre-order it as well and have it shipped directly to you. So I think that's about it. I'm not doing any therapy anymore. I've had to totally shut down my therapy practice because it's just too many other things going on.
Busy, so yeah.
I'm kind of
and busy. To note too, I love this about your book. It's not like this thick, you know, heavy thing. It's actually very manageable.
Yeah, a little over 100 pages. Yeah. Really big print because I'm getting old. No, it's not that. Yeah, it's short. It's an easy read. Each chapter, you can get through each chapter in probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes. So it's not War and Peace, that's for sure.
But I think that's, you know, helpful for couples too who have busy lives and all that.
Yeah.
So it's good to know.
Yeah. And that's another thing. A couple could say, hey, let's just, you know, read one chapter a week. And then on date night, we'll talk about that chapter. I mean, it'd be another great way to use the book. So
that's great. Awesome. Yeah. Doug, thank you so much for taking your time to be on the show and share with all this good stuff.
Keep up the good work you all are doing too. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.